What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You
know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. It is Taz and Moose with you here on this Monday morning on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Mike, Pete, across the way. Bogus, your updates to 9 a.m. Eastern time. We go. And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Here we go. Top of the 8 o'clock hour, Eastern time, the 3.
It is now time for The Three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
The Texans defeat the Patriots. New England loses hold of number one seed.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Andrew.
Yes, little Andrew Bogus. Bonus Andrew Bogus. That's it. Right,
if you haven't had enough of them on the show already, you can learn more.
Letterman jackets last night for the Texans as they showed up with the SWAT uniform on.
Hold on a second. Letterman jackets. You mean like Vossi jackets?
Yes.
Like the leather sleeves?
They did that a couple years ago.
When did they do that?
When they took on the Pats, was it up
oh,
in
yeah.
the fight? Yeah, and they,
That's
then they
cool.
got destroyed.
I didn't know that. Yeah, they got destroyed.
No, they did.
They got beat up.
Then they got beat up and knocked around, and people kind of mock them out. But last night, they showed up with the SWAT team on. The SWAT outfits
on. SWAT.
SWAT some of the defensive players did last night. The New England Patriots, a fall to the Houston Texans. 28-22, the final. And you couple that with the Ravens' victory earlier in the day over the San Francisco 49ers, and now the Patriots are no longer in command of that number one seed in the AFC playoffs.
I know. It's like, who would have thunk it, right? Who would have thunk it here? It's great. I mean, look, you know, playing away games in the NFL is always tough. We know that. But going down into Texas, that's a long, nice long trip for the Patriots. And the Patriots have not been cooking on all cylinders, as we all know. Their offensive issues. Defense has been great, but the offense has not been clicking. There's not a plethora of weapons there for Tom Brady to utilize. He's getting much older. Offensive line, I don't know, my opinion still looks pretty good, but they got some holes. And he was sacked 3 times yesterday, Brady was. This is without J.J. Watt. And what would you say was rushed, like 12 times, Moose? I think you said 12.
12 quarterback hits.
12 quarterback hits. Hits.
12 quarterback hits,
so that's
sacks.
A lot. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. So, you know what? I mean, as a non-Pats fan, I think this is great. But, you know, it's still, they got to figure it out. We both kind of agreed that we thought Sanu would be a much bigger weapon at this point in the season coming from the Falcons to the Patriots.
Yeah, I thought so as well, Taz, and you've not seen that here. And I think you could be a little concerned if you're the Pats in terms of the margin for error is not all that great when you look at this team, and it's not. And you've seen that. You know, throughout the course of the year, they've won a lot of these close games, ugly games, right, Taz, against the Dallas Cowboys,
right.
Earlier on up in Orchard Park against the Buffalo Bills, where the offense has kind of has been non-existent. And you could sense a little bit of the frustration. We discussed it earlier on the face with the messaging to his teammates by number 12, by
right.
Tom Brady. And you saw that last night, down 21-3, down 28-9 at one point in time, ends up being a 28-22 final. The lack of explosiveness to that Patriot offense can't dictate the terms as well with the offensive line running the football two up front. It's a little concerning right now if you're the Pats in terms of, you know, the leakage and the seepage that we're seeing here from the Patriots. Is it just a sign of, you know, not ending abruptly, but kind of fading into the night to where they get blown by one of these teams, whether it be the Ravens, You know, maybe the Buffalo Bills, who've got an opportunity now. If they win out, maybe the Buffalo Bills end up winning this division, Taz, which is a possibility too. And you never really would have thought that. Think about that here as we sit here on Monday morning, December 2nd.
Yeah. And, you know, Edelman's the go-to. Everybody knows that going to the game. These other teams know that. And Edelman, I'm not a fan of the guy, but I'm a fan of his play. He's a great player, and he's got great connectivity with Tom Brady. And even him, I mean, he had 106 yards in reception, but, you know, he had six catches. So and he had 12 attempts on him. So, you know, that's there's usually more coming out of him. But there's no Gronk. There's no other weapons. To the point you're making here, you know, the Patriots, they have the Bills nipping at their heels.
Yeah.
Okay, in that AFC East. You know.
And you picked the Bills to win the division before the start of the year, and they've got an opportunity here, Taz. I don't think it's going to happen. You think it's more of a possibility than I do as we sit here, you know, on this Monday morning, but it's a discussion to have nonetheless.
Well, because like what happened at the end of September when the Patriots beat the Bills by 6 points, okay? And you pointed out during it happened. I said this earlier. When it happened, you know, Josh Allen didn't play in that whole game. He got concussed. Okay, and Josh Allen is known, and he has built a reputation. He's fourth quarter Jones. He steps up in the fourth
well
quarter.
The
fourth. He does. So, you know, and Singletary wasn't. I don't think Singletary was playing that game. And Frank Gore had a really good game rushing the ball. So they were able to run the ball on the Patriots.
I think you're right about Singletary. Didn't he get hurt in that Jet game?
He got hurt in the Jet game. Correct.
Yeah.
And they were able to run the ball with Gore. And Singletary, anybody who's new to him, if you watched on Thanksgiving, which was there's more eyes than games at Thanksgiving, you watched the Cowboy game on the road, you see how good of a running back this kid is. He's a quiet weapon. I mean, he can run the rock. And Allen, you know, runs the ball great too, out of the pocket. So, and you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm obviously a Bills fan, so I'm looking forward to that. When it happens, but first you got to get past this Ravens game if you're the Bills. So that's what I'm worried about.
To do, yeah. But yeah, but I mean, it's an opportunity here that you never thought that you'd have. You know, and maybe a couple weeks back, you maybe turned the page and just focused on the wild card, Taz. And here you are with four games to go. You're just a game back of the Pats. That's it. And the Pats are playing the Chiefs, and you're taking on the Ravens. Should you win and the Patriots lose, then all of a sudden you're even, Steven, three games to go, and you're playing a game against one another.
Well, both teams in the East have tough games. Like you just said, Ravens for Bills, Chiefs for the Pats. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for both teams. So, but, you know, I don't know. I'm good either way. I'm good either way. I just want to see us finish strong.
You just want to see your team in the playoffs.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's it.
And you had a statement victory on Thanksgiving, which helped the turkey go down. I mean, for the Bills to go into Dallas and beat the Cowboys.
So nice.
Probably the most impressive performance of the day.
I was watching the game.
Nice.
A little red wine.
A little vino.
Yeah, a little Shiraz.
Oh, nice. Yeah. There you go. I'm sure it went down very, very well.
I was laughing. Oh, yeah. I packed a lip while I'm drinking the wine. It was great, right? My brother-in-law's den. He's like, bro, come on, get a cup.
Garrett clapping his hands.
Oh, yeah.
Chewing the gum. And
Garrett.
You're beating the cat. I feel bad. Beating up on the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
And my other brother-in-law, I'm sitting there, my brother-in-law, Rich, huge Giant fan. So you know how it is. When you watch a Cowboys game with a Giant fan.
Oh, they love it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, they're rude.
You would think he was the bigger Bills fan than me.
Right. You can't wait.
But he's going off. He loved it. Big WFAN fan. Like
But
he loved for years, Giants. Oh, my God. Like, dude walks around with an LT jersey.
Oh, that's great.
Old school Giants.
Oh, he's like the biggest. He's the biggest Bills supporter ever.
Oh, love the Bills.
That's
ripping
cool.
Garrett. Ripping Dak Prescott. He's going off, bro. It's a star.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
I was cracking up.
It's good to have that kind of company on Thanksgiving.
It
really is. All right, next.
Number two.
Ravens beat 49ers in the battle of NFL's best.
Entertaining game. It really was. We built it up, you know, throughout the course of last week, Taz. It was a shortened week for us as we did shows Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But look forward to 1 o'clock in Baltimore. It would have been better if maybe the sun was shining and rain didn't come into play. But, you know, it was still a very, very entertaining game nonetheless. Physical.
Yeah.
Running the football.
Yeah.
old school. I love the fact that it was played on natural grass and it was not on artificial turf. I love that very fact as well, where you get some of the dirt stains over the course of the game. You know, kind of the other team's helmet kind of rubbing off on, you know, you get a little bit of the paint too.
Big dirt patch, the guy's face mask from the 49ers.
Yeah. I can't remember what it was. I mean, all that stuff you love, you know, and to be honest with you, I was very entertained with the game. Both teams should be proud of themselves. They gave you a good account of it. There's nothing not to like about the 49ers moving forward as the Baltimore Ravens win the game. Late Tucker field goal, and how good is he? He's going to be a Hall of Famer one day. 2017 final as Baltimore makes it 8 straight victories.
I mean, he's great. Tucker's great, ain't no doubt. I mean, this game was just, it was a lot of fun to watch. I mean, it was definitely a Super Bowl preview. If you like hard-hitting football in the rain, old school like Moose just laid out, on the natural grass, strong defenses, you would love this game because they were running the ball, man. Both teams were running the rock and hitting. It was a blast. And like I said earlier, man, I felt like the game flew by. It went by too fast. Next thing you know, it's over with a field goal. Like, wow. And it was really strange. I don't know how to put this verbally, but it almost felt like both teams won the game. It was strange. Because if you were a Niners fan, I mean, I'm not a Niners fan. I'm not a hater. I'm indifferent. But I don't think you were, like, ultra disappointed. To go on the road, to go across the country, play in a cold, nasty rain when you're from San Francisco, when your team's practicing, up there, in San Francisco, and put on this kind of battle and for it to come down to a field goal, you got to be proud of your squad if you're a Niners fan.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think you feel good about the 49ers, even though they're 10-2, and you feel really good about the Ravens as they are 10-2, Taz. And maybe, just maybe, we're going to see these two teams play up in the Super Bowl. Maybe.
Yeah.
We're going to get it once again. But it was a regular season game. I thought it was kind of a great regular season game. I thought it was kind of refreshing to see a game that's not, 41-37 final.
Yeah.
Me too. Where you're kind of, where it's a grind just to get a first down.
I know.
I thought it was pretty, it was a fun game. It really was, and I think the rain and the weather added to it as well. And Lamar Jackson still your front runner to be the MVP of the league, as he ran for over 100 yards, threw for over 100 yards. It wasn't a great offensive day, but he avoided the calamitous mistake.
Yeah, he's tough, man. He is tough to prepare for. He's tough to get ready for. That Lamar Jackson. Hello,
Number three.
All right.
Number three.
Steelers defeat the Browns in revenge game.
Yeah, I did spend a lot of time on this morning, Taz, but it's probably, one of the bigger headlines coming out of it. Hodges at quarterback, no Mason Rudolph for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're home. They're taking on the Cleveland Browns. We know what happened a short while ago. Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph. We know what happened afterward. The accusations by Myles Garrett. Just a very, very ugly scenario and situation. Tons of fines and suspensions handed out based on that fight that transpired on that Thursday night game between the Steelers and Browns out there in Cleveland. You didn't get any of that, but you knew that this was a game that the Steelers as an organization wanted. Yeah. They wanted to kind of bury Cleveland. They wanted to kind of enact a little bit of revenge on the football field. And they did just that. They trailed early, were able to rally, found a way to win the football game. Second half, by far, they were the better football team.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And quarterback Baker Mayfield for the Browns. He had an interception and a quarterback through a little south of 200 yards. 18 of 32. Is what it is. Let's take a listen here to Baker Mayfield talking about that his team needs to play better.
We just look at the tape. We got to be able to do our job. I think consistently everybody's got to do their 1/11th. The things I've mentioned, and we just have to put it together. You have to play as a team on the road to be able to have success, and we didn't do it consistently enough to have a win today.
You heard about the whole thing with Freddie Kitchens. I think it was Friday with the T-shirt.
Yeah, the Mr. Rogers T-shirt.
Yeah, the one. Well, it said it was, no, the was that the same thing with the It's Pittsburgh's Fault?
I thought it started here. In Pittsburgh. I thought it was...
I thought he was wearing a T-shirt, Freddie Kitchens.
I thought
there was something he was doing for his daughters or something like that. He took a picture with a fan.
Yeah, I thought it started with Pittsburgh. We might be referencing the same thing.
Yeah, the shirt basically said Pittsburgh started it.
That's what I was
talking about. In reference
to
Miles Garrett, yeah.
I'm a little confused on Mr. Rogers' thing.
Oh, I thought he mentioned that it was in reference to the Mr. Rogers movie. Because Mr. Rogers was from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, I didn't know any of that.
Yes.
No, and... Well, anyway, so he got a little... People were getting, because they lost the game, and then there's people like saying, well, he's wearing a t-shirt saying about the fight, about the thing he referenced with Garrett. Let's take a listen here about Freddie Kitchens talking about downplaying the t-shirt.
The t-shirt didn't have anything to do with us at the minus one moving out. I wore a t-shirt, I wore a jacket with it. My daughters wanted me to wear the shirt, and I'd wear it again.
Wow. Well, there you have it.
Yeah, well, you can't do that if you're a coach. You can't.
Yeah.
If a player does it,
Pittsburgh started. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, you can't do it. Yeah, whatever. You can't do that, though.
No,
you can't
I don't
wear
disagree
a t-shirt that says Pittsburgh started. If you're a player, different story. You're the head coach.
Yeah.
Act like the head coach, Freddie Jones. I mean, really, come on. What are you doing? Let's take a listen. Speaking of this game, the Steelers and the Browns and head coaches, Moose. Natural segue. Mike Tomlin. Let's take a listen to him on the victory.
We're looking to strike a blow for team. In these circumstances, to stand up for the game of football and team and prove that guys can make plays when given an opportunity. One man's misfortune is another man's opportunity.
Oh God, cliche
the
Jones.
Standard is the standard, and they made cliche. All those cliches, if you will,
he said it
true.
Dude, it's like cliche after cliche, and he called them
cliche.
Yeah,
so that's the confusion. He was out to go see A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood with his
kids.
Okay,
I was talking about Mike Tomlin. You're
No. Because I knew there was a reference to the Tom Hanks movie.
Got to get it right. Go ahead, go back to Freddie Kitchens.
I was correct, right? So he was out to see the new Tom Hanks movie about Mr. Rogers, and that's when the picture was taken.
Hold on. How do you mean you were right? I was talking about the t-shirt, and you're talking about when he, why he
was. Correct.
How are you
He was out to basically see. I knew there was a connection to Mr. Rogers.
But then you said you were right.
Yes.
Yeah, but you were talking about him going to the movies to see Mr. Rogers.
Correct. I knew there was a connection to that. That's the point.
But he wore the shirt because it was like a mock on the fight
with
Garrett.
Well, he was out to go see a movie, was he not, when he took the photo?
According to what you just said, I wasn't with him. But I'm just saying, like, it was about...
Right, whatever. Right. He was out to see A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, the new Tom Hanks movie about Mr. Rogers, right? So, basically, yeah. So, there you have it.
So, Moose was right. So everybody put that on
the docket. Be wrong, but I knew there was a connection to
him. No, you cannot be wrong. So, back to the sound we just played a moment ago. Mike Tomlin was talking about the win, if you heard him, and he was talking about the cliches, because he was hitting us with a lot of cliches. All right, whatever. Next!
No, we're done.
Oh, we're done.
Very nice.
We're not doing the four? That's not the four?
No, it's the
new
three.
New segment on the
Very
show?
Very nice. So there are your three big headlines here on this Monday morning. The Steelers victorious, little revenge game over the Browns. The Ravens victorious over the 49ers. And the Patriots get handed a big fat L by the Houston Texans as the Ravens are now the new top dog in the AFC, having control, being the number one seed in the AFC playoffs. It's Taz and the Moose with you here on this Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, on this Monday morning, we'll get to the Eagles and their collapse down in Miami against the Dolphins. Amazingly enough, the putrid performance by the Jets in Cincinnati against the Bengals. Final time here this morning. It's Andrew Bogish. What's up, Andrew?
Moose and Taz, here's your report. It is sponsored by Geico. Great news. There is a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. The Patriots defense solved for a night. The Texans racing to a 21-3 lead before winning 28-22 on Sunday Night Football. QB Deshaun Watson not downplaying the significance of the W.
It builds our confidence. It builds the momentum for us and continue to try to push on. And it just shows us and shows the world that we can play with anybody at any given day if we come up and play.
Watson with three touchdown passes and one receiving. His team owns the three seed in the AFC this morning. The Pats give up number one to the Ravens, who won their eighth in a row in the afternoon, 2017, over the Niners. Taz, back to you.
It's a big thing, too, man, because all these other teams are watching what the Texans did and how they controlled, and they did defensively, I should say, And that gives that boosts the confidence, not just of those Texans players, but other players that are fixing to play the Patriots and other defensive coordinators that are watching this and defensive coaches. And, you know, I'm just telling you, man, this is I think we all lived vicariously through the Texans yesterday. I know I did.
Yes. I think you hate the Patriots more than I do. But, they don't bother me like they bother you. But I'm also not a fan of a team in the AFC.
But hold on a minute.
I mean, they bother me.
Right. See, that's what I'm saying. See, Moose, they bother most people, not just AFC East fans. They bother most football fans. Now, they do have a loyal fan base. Don't get me wrong. I know that love them. And no one's denying their greatness. But they are the evil empire. And they are hated by a lot of football fans that don't even have an issue.
Yeah, no, you know? I get it. I'm not denying that.
There's a lot to hate.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't feel that way about it. I enjoy watching their brilliance. I think they're an unbelievable. I think we'll never see anything like this ever again.
Thank goodness.
What they've been able to do, regardless of franchise.
That's a
here's the problem, though.
How do you say that? That's tough. I don't agree with that. Never see this again?
You'll never see it again.
What, maybe in your lifetime or
never see. You'll never see it again.
Never see what again?
You'll see
a dynasty.
You'll see
15 seasons.
You'll see a team go to 9 Super Bowls, winning 6 of them in the span of 16, 17 years. You'll never see that again.
To say it'll never happen again.
You'll never see that again.
Oh my God, Moose, that's a very broad statement.
It is a broad statement. I'm pretty.
You agree with Moose on that?
I do.
I don't think
never again that we can just say it'll never happen again.
I mean, my guess is a combination of the greatest head coach of all time and, like, at worst, the second best quarterback of all time together for more than a decade. Seems very, very, very unlikely to repeat itself.
So they're the first team ever in any sport, in pro sports, to be a ultra-successful dynasty? Is that what I'm hearing?
No, but they've no one's had this amount of success.
No one's had.
In the NFL.
Never again will it happen in the NFL. Never again. That's what you're telling me.
No, I don't think you'll ever
see. I don't agree.
Okay, well, we'll find. Well, I mean, we'll probably be dead by the way that ever happens.
That's the thing.
Again.
So how do we know that?
But
to say you're never going to see it again, to me, is a very ballsy thing to say.
Well, hold on a second. It's really not.
Moose only has till Wednesday, so he's comfortable making this statement.
It's really not when you think about it. Number one is in today's day and age of salary cap.
Right.
Number two is the fact that you look at the brilliance of Belichick and the way that he's been able to do things.
Right.
The health being an equation. Look at the Los Angeles Rams. Tell me the year the Patriots have had. Even the year that Tom Brady went out with a torn ACL, they plugged Matt Castle in. They still had a representable year.
They won 11 games. They should have made the playoffs. Any other year, they would have made the playoffs.
They won 11-5 that year.
Everything you're saying,
and
as
Matt
usual,
Castle then ended up getting paid, and all of a sudden you realize the flaws of him as a quarterback. He was great in New England, and he was great nowhere else.
Everything's factually correct. I know that. Everything you're saying.
You're not going to see it.
I'm just saying, but I think that's a very...
I think
something like that, like it's going to be a fact. I think that's
still your phrase. I think it's more ballsy to say it's going to happen again.
No,
to think that we're going to see this happen again.
Hold on a second. I think it's more. Can I say something, please?
Yeah, no. I will.
I was talking. You interrupted me like 5 times. What I'm saying is this, sir, to both you people. Okay. What I'm saying is, I get what you're saying. It could be ballsy on my part to say that. It will happen again. I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying give it some oxygen that it might happen again. You guys are saying it'll never happen again. You don't know that. I understand the facts that are backing up your opinion. I respect that. I do. And I know you're right what you're saying. But all I'm saying is give it a little chance that it might happen again. That's all I'm doing. Chances are it won't happen again.
Yeah, I don't think there's a chance.
Wow. Well, hold on a second. Are they playing games? Hold on. Are teams playing competitive games every year? Then there's a chance.
Well, no, but
come on, there's no chance.
Yes, there's always a chance, but is the chance 5%?
I don't even think it's 5%. You think there's going to be another quarterback that we see in the NFL that's going to go to 9 Super Bowls?
And play this well post 40?
Yeah, I think it could happen.
Really?
People shatter records all the time. People beat people's records in sports all the time.
You think there's going to be a quarterback that's going to go to 9 Super Bowls? and win six of them.
How do I know? Who am I to sit here? I know most sportscasters say things like they're facts, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give it a chance that it might happen.
No, but you're.
How do I know?
No, but instead of. But here's the. Because it's not an appreciation. It's more of an appreciation of the Patriots' brilliance.
It's than anything else. I respect their brilliance.
What they have accomplished is historic.
Moose.
What Belichick and Brady have accomplished is historic. You're never going to see it again. Okay, so you want to draw a comparison to, say, a baseball comparison.
I didn't say that.
No, I do.
Okay.
I want to draw a comparison to a baseball comparison, right? So Mariano Rivera was the first unanimous Hall of Famer, right?
Right.
There's other closers that have had brilliant runs, brilliant stretches. Dennis Eckersley. Who else you want to
John Franco.
Armando Benitez. Yeah, Armando Benitez.
John Franco.
Braden Looper.
There's been other guys that have had his brilliance for short runs.
Doug Sisk.
There will never be another closer in baseball history to carry the brilliance that he had at that position for as long as he did.
Wow.
There might be a guy that can have as good of a year or a better season.
There might be someone that has a three-year run that's good.
As good as Mariano Rivera.
No problem.
But I firmly believe there will never be a reliever or a closer ever that will be able to do what he did over the time and the amount of seasons that he did it. There was no historic drop-off.
Okay.
There was no season in which he went from dominant closer. There was no Edwin Diaz year.
Easy, Moose.
Right.
There was no Edwin Diaz last year, statistically, with the Mariners 2 years ago, was the best reliever in baseball. This past year, he was basically one of the worst.
But there was Luis Gonzalez.
There was. But he was not, infallible. I'm not saying he was unbeatable, but he was able to rebound, and there were many people that looked at it just like Tom Brady. Do you think there will be a quarterback that can have as brilliant of a career for as long of his stretch playing into his early 40s? I don't see it.
I can't say anything. What am I going to say? I look at things differently. I look at things like I don't believe in putting a cap on a person, a player, or a team in any sport. I don't think that's right to do, meaning a cap saying it can happen. I don't believe it. I think that you're telling me the future, and you're not qualified to tell me the future, nor is the guy next year, nor am I, nor is Mike, nor are the guys in the other studio. Nobody is qualified to say the future.
What about
Bawami? Well, Bawami, maybe. Hold on a second.
But you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Wait a second. I'm waiting.
But you're qualified to say
it's a possibility in the future.
Of course, because that's...
I'm not qualified to say it's not a possibility.
Because you're saying it as fact, like it's not going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay, you're entitled to, and I respect
your opinion. And that's my
opinion. But when you say your opinion as a fact, what I'm saying is you give it a little bit of wiggle room that it could happen.
But I don't see a quarterback going to 9 Super Bowls winning 7 of them.
And Moose, there's a really... There's a good chance that you're correct.
I think it's basically 99.5%.
Okay, so now you're saying there's a chance.
No,
it's but you said 99.5.
No, I'll give it 100%.
Oh, so you're not giving it a chance.
No, I don't think there's a chance. I don't think you'll ever see a quarterback do what he has accomplished.
And you're probably right. But all I'm saying is it's tough. People break records in sports, in life all the time. Records get broken. People, you know, it happens because athletes get better. Teams get better. Evolution. This happens. So to say something as a fact, like this will never happen again, I'm not just you. I hate when people do that on the radio or TV, and not just in sports, because to me it's like, you know, what are you playing, God? Like, you know the future here? Like, to me that's a little crazy.
How is it crazy? I've watched enough sports to see how difficult it is to win, how easy the Patriots have made winning look, how they've been able to adapt and change as a franchise and organization over time. Never thought they'd get to 5, never thought they'd get to 6, never thought they'd get to 7. The amount of Super Bowls that they've gotten to and the amount that they've won, I don't think you'll ever see it again. Joe Montana being 4 for 4, people always said there'll be no other quarterback that wins 5. That wins 6, that wins 7.
It happened, right?
But at that stage, it did happen. But to go to 9?
No, but what I'm saying
is... To go to 9 Super Bowls.
But when you say, I don't think it'll happen. That's different than saying it'll never happen.
It's not going to happen. I don't think it's
going
to happen.
Now you're going back and forth, though, bro.
No, I'm not going back and forth. It's not going to happen. How am I going back and forth?
Because
it's not
a second ago you said you don't think it's going to happen.
No, no.
Then you said it will
happen. It's not going to happen. I don't think you're in our lifetime, I don't think you'll ever see a team accomplish what the Patriots
have accomplished. And there's a really good chance you're right. And I'm going to be on the fence about it and give it a little wiggle room because you can't, in my opinion, it's tough. Not just you. When I say you, I don't mean you. You can't give that kind of factual, put a stamp on things, say it's not going to happen. Now, if you put a qualifier on, say, in my opinion, no way this is going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. Slim to none, yada, yada. Every little qualifier.
How many to put a qualifier on? It's not happening.
Okay. Well, then I guess that you should go to the racetrack and win every single race.
I never said that.
Because you know the future.
I didn't say that.
You should win every race.
I'm using my educated opinion to tell you that it's not going to happen.
Okay.
Based on everything I said before in terms of the rationale and the reasoning why it's not going to happen, that you're never going to see this transpire again.
Right. And all I'm saying is you're probably right. Just give it a little bit of option, a little option of a chance that it might happen.
I'm not going to depreciate their accomplishments. That's
no, it's not. That's not about. I don't think that's about not appreciating their accomplishments. No, it's not.
How's
Hold
it
on,
not?
What are you talking about? Because I'm not a Patriots fan. For me to
it's
sit
nothing
here
to do with being a Patriots
fan. No. What I'm saying is because I think there's a chance that it will. There is a chance it will happen. Means I don't appreciate what they've done. Is that what you're saying
to
me? Oh, stop. Please, stop. Andrew, finish your
up. A little bit of an
No, that's what you just said is a little silly.
How is that silly?
Because it's flat out freaking silly, dude. For you to sit here and tell me because I feel that there's a chance another team can do it, that's me minimizing the accomplishments of Belichick, Brady, and the Patriots.
I'm saying that's historic.
No,
I'm saying
stop.
That you'll never see it again.
Please do not put words in my mouth and let the audience hear something like that.
You just quote.
You
just
gave wrong what you just said to
okay,
me.
Okay, then you're not depreciating it.
I am not depreciating it.
My opinion is that people that minimize what they do or say that this is easy to accomplish or it can be accomplished again, minimize what they have accomplished. Just like when I talk about Mariano Rivera
or
other guys.
Moose, I don't think anybody would say that it was easy what they've accomplished. I hope you don't think I'm even implying
I'm
that.
No,
are
I'm
you
not,
thinking I'm even
no,
implying that?
I never said to you.
I think I said it's people. Insanely hard what they've done. So I mean, I'm just saying that I do think to say something as fact that something will never happen again is like that's just tough for me to swallow. That's
okay. All right. That's Andrew, what else you got?
I got the Bengals getting their first win of the season, 22-6 over the Jets, but only 39,804 fans saw it. That's the smallest crowd in Paul Brown Stadium history. Mm. Monday Night Football has Seattle hosting Minnesota. The Seahawks have won 4 straight, 6 of 7 for the Vikings. 34 points from Kawhi Leonard, 31 from Paul George, 23 from Montrezl Harrell, and 22 from Lou Williams. Their Clippers pounded the Wizards 150-125. College Hoops, number 14, Arizona, beat Wake Forest 73-66 to win the Wooden Legacy in Anaheim. And college football, Rutgers is, after all, bringing back Greg Schiano. The Board of Governors give final approval of the new deal tomorrow morning. It's said to be for 8 years and $4.7 million. Guys?
Well, per year, right?
Right, per year. Excuse me.
Thanks, Hoss. Get the facts right, Andrew, please.
Left out a word. An important one.
Yes. Can't leave a word out.
Go Pats.
It's the library. We're in history class.
No, $4.7 million for 8 years is much different
That's a big difference. Yeah.
Than basically getting paid $50, $40 million over the course of 8 years.
All right, let's go to Joe while listening on Sirius XM 206 in Houston. Joe, what's up? You're on with Taz and the Moose.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What are you doing, Joe? What's going on, buddy?
Man, I'm coming up 95, enjoying this beautiful weather you guys are having up here.
It's gorgeous out, right? We're stuck in a cave. Is it snowing still or sleet, rain? What is it?
It's a little bit of a mixture of both. You know, that and the people driving in their little four-wheel cars, they don't really know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So as much as I enjoy the two of you disagreeing on somebody and bickering, I'm going to have to say that Moose has probably got the strongest look at this. Now, you don't ever see this because you don't really have a quarterback that's humbled and happy with just winning and not taking extra money, allowing the team to adapt around him. I think that's the strongest point. With the millennials, and kids coming up in the game today. They look for a lot of stardom and fans and Twitter followers.
Right.
And
they want attention. They want a lot of love and attention. Yeah.
And they're chasing the money. I mean, they're chasing the money. Mm. So you're not. I don't think you're really going to get this dynamic. Belichick, you know, is incredible, and even when they weren't, they found ways to win. 19 years, I think, right? They've been doing it. So yep. I really don't think you're going to find anything else like this again, not with the age that we're coming into, with the new players coming into the league.
All right, no problem.
Joe, appreciate the call, buddy.
Joe, we appreciate it, dude. Thanks, yep. man. Careful driving, buddy.
Yes, drive safe. Man.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, it's look, I like I said, I'll go to my grave with it. Listen, what they've accomplished, the Patriots, is amazing. There's no doubt about it, and we'll probably never see it again. I believe in, at least with something like this, putting a qualifier on it, only because you never know. You can't tell the future because the way things – I understand the cap. Joe makes a good point about Brady, about money and stuff like that, and about players say they want to just grab that money first. I get, but I'm just saying it's – for me, it's tough to swallow to say something as a fact how the future's going to be with anything. I don't believe in – hey, I was a guy who was told you're never going to make it in this business as a wrestler. So maybe that's why I got a big chip on my shoulder, because I believe in spitting in the face when someone thinks that I can't do something. And I think a lot of people like that. If they're told they can't do something, they get their back up and get pissed off. So that's what I think of when someone says, when they deem something can't happen. I understand your facts are definitely
there. No, but
we're
talking about, you know? I mean, being told you can't do something and doing it is different than what we're talking about accomplishing here.
Not really. No, because you're telling someone the future. You're telling them what the future's going to be. That's why I'm saying.
I don't.
I'm not saying you would do that to someone. I'm just saying it's still telling someone the future.
Yeah, I don't. We just look at it differently. That's all.
I guess, just look at it.
I mean, I just, like I mentioned, I think in today's day and age of, we have the greatest quarterback, arguably, the greatest coach, salary cap era. Brady's taking less money in order to help out the rest of the team. I think the fact of going to 9, winning 6, I think it's difficult to, if not near, I think it's impossible to see somebody, another organization accomplishing that over the course of the amount of time that they accomplished it. So, but only, you know, only time, it's amazing what they've been able to do and the consistent brilliance that they've had. It's Taz and the Moose with you. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS. That is your number to call. We come back. We got the undercard for you. The stories we missed on today's show right here on this Monday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, time right now to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from John up in Vermont. Eagles or Cowboys, maybe in the Redskins, who wins the NFC East? Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. I guess the Cowboys. I mean, they're holding out hope of winning 4 straight. Eagles just lost yesterday to the Dolphins. I mean, I know Redskins beat Carolina, but Rivera's in all kinds of trouble down there in Carolina. Allen's regressed at the quarterback spot. That's a brutal loss for them. As a 10-point home favorite to lose that game at one point in time, down 29-14, and led that game at one point 14-0. That's a terrible loss for the Carolina Panthers. I know Lean Mean tweeted me yesterday saying throw the Redskins into the equation. I can't really. I don't think they're winning anything. I'd say the Dallas Cowboys still win that division.
I would agree. I just think they're a better team. But I will say this: I believe the Eagles have a very few easy games coming up. Redskins in there, who else? 2 Giants. So they got, you know, they got to play Dallas too on the December 22nd. I'm looking at it right now. So yeah, they got the Giants. They got the Redskins. Yep. Then they got the Cowboys. Then they got the Giants again. Essentially, they could win 3 of those 4 games.
Yeah, they could.
Right? So that, wouldn't that be something, right?
They
so
just lost to the Dolphins, though.
I know. That's bad. I mean,
that's a brutal loss.
Bad. And where the Cowboys, they got to play the Bears in Chicago. Good luck with that. That defense is, you know,
I think they'll beat. I think they'll beat the Bears.
I think it's going to be a better game than people are thinking. Though I think they'll beat them too. I do, but it's going to be tough. And then you got to play the Rams, who you know they're just who the hell knows. Yeah. Yesterday they played great, but who knows what they are, right?
True.
So and then they finish up. They get the Eagles, then they play the Redskins too. So I don't know. First thing is, you said Cowboys. Eagles I'm with the Cowboys. Yeah, answer John's question,
yeah,
Cowboys.
I mean, Eagles do have, to play to your point, Eagles have an easier road.
They do. That's what
the
I'm
problem
saying.
Is, I don't think the Eagles are as good as Dallas.
They're not. I agree.
Now, the Cowboys have a more difficult road, but they're a more talented team that have underachieved. But could they lose to the Bears? Yeah, I mean, conceivably, they could lose to the Bears. They could lose to the Rams.
Right. Right. No, it could happen.
You know, what we do know is the NFC East is terrible.
It is.
I mean, it's terrible. It's a terrible division.
It is terrible. I want to say one thing, too, about that Thanksgiving game against the Bills, even though they lost the Cowboys. Prescott completed a lot of passes in that game, like tough passes. He played pretty good. I mean, he threw over 350 yards in that game.
Yeah.
So I think Prescott doesn't get enough credit. He's a good player. He's a good quarterback. He had two touchdowns in that game, one interception. He was 32 of 49. So, you know, he's a good player. And Zeke Elliott, you know, that guy could explode at any time. So,
right.
You know.
But to play to the point of our caller that called up, right?
You
know, John, who called up on the
from
you know,
Houston. And,
right, correct. He was on 95, right.
I-95.
Correct.
Right.
You know, think about the amount of money that Dak Prescott's looking for.
Yeah, he's going to get paid.
And,
right, he wants
and
to get paid.
He's looking for anywhere between $30 and $40 million a year.
Right.
You know, Tom Brady. You know, if we drew a comparison, we were talking about that discussion we were having earlier, right? The Patriots and Brady.
Yes,
Brady's never come out and talked about making $40 million a year.
Right. Right.
Do you know
right.
what I mean? That's why it's difficult when you look at trying to having to pay everybody
and
trying to consistently win.
Right.
Like you look at Prescott. Prescott played well, Taz. You look at him as being a quarterback, you're looking to pay $35 to $40 million a year.
No, I don't look at him like
I don't look
that.
At him
I
as
get
that
it.
Kind of
I
player.
Get the
but
point.
that's what he's gonna command. And what that's gonna hurt is you're not gonna be able to pay other guys. It's gonna
I'm trying not to circle back to that conversation, but I understand you had some valid points. And you're backing up your opinion with facts of the past.
I'm not bringing it. No, it's
I'm
just
trying to move
another
on.
Example.
I'm getting
another,
ready to do the undercard here. My sinuses are killing me.
Another of life's examples.
My sinuses are killing me. And I'm trying not to get stressed. When I get
stressed,
they bother me more.
We're talking about sports. Nothing to be stressed about. All right, here we go.
A lot.
Next.
A lot to be stressed about. Undercard.
Sports.
Taz and the Moose present The Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, which team in green had a more disappointing Sunday, the Jets or the Eagles?
That's the Jets. You lost to the Bengals, who hadn't won a game. I think the head coach was crying after they won a game.
Zach Taylor.
Zach Taylor, I believe.
Jets played awful.
Oh, my God.
It's not the fact that they lost the Bengals. I mean, they threw Dalton back in. They saw what they needed to see from Finley. I guess the fact of the way that they lost, 22-6. Taz, they didn't have one offensive snap in the Bengals' red zone the entire game.
Wow. What is going on?
And that's a team that won three straight going into the game.
They have glimpses of
one
really
offensive
good.
Snap. Like, they didn't have one. Yeah. It's embarrassing.
So my
now,
opinion,
the Eagles, though. We talked about that division, Taz. To go on the road and lose to Miami the way that they did, they looked like they were run away with that game.
I love those old throwback Miami Dolphin uniforms.
Yeah, those are great.
Those are great.
I agree.
They really are cool.
All right, next.
But I want to maximize my full physical appearance. The Tennessee Titans are now 7-5, just outside of the playoffs behind the Pittsburgh Steelers. And there's a Jason Lock and Four report that they might offer Tannehill the
JLC.
Franchise tag. Would that be a good idea?
No, it would not be.
It'd be a horrible idea. Tell JLC I said that.
We'll do.
Yeah. No.
Next!
I would not. Would you offer now they play great with them.
No way.
The franchise tag for Ryan Tannehill?
No.
The guy was begging for a job before the start of the year.
There's a good chance Ryan Tannehill will be playing for Vince McMahon in the XFL. Really?
They're picking up guys.
Andrew Luck will be his quarterback coach.
They're picking up guys left and right.
Yeah.
All right. Next.
I can't believe they just did that. Wow.
That's the man right there. Romo was great last night on the game.
Oh, Romo.
The afternoon game. Wow, I was loving him.
Vikings Seahawks tonight. What do you think?
That was not Romo, was that?
No, not the night game. I'm talking about the afternoon game.
No,
Romo
no,
called the. No, no. Oh, that was. No, before that. Yeah,
I can't believe they just did that.
That's Romo, right, Pete? That's Romo.
That is?
Sorry, Moose.
That sounds like Tony Romo?
That sounds like it because it's him.
I thought that sounded like a wrestling thing.
No, we don't do wrestling right, stuff next. On this show. You know, we were in the next.
What do we got?
Viking just, Seahawks.
He's just
think
saying
tonight?
Next.
I like Seahawks.
I'm with Moose. I like Seahawks too. Yeah.
Play that again, Pete. Let me hear that again.
I can't believe they just did that. Wow.
Dude, that's
not Tony Romo.
Oh, yeah, my God.
That's not this? Tony Romo.
Pete, do you believe this?
That's not Romo.
Pete,
what game
please.
Was that? What
I'm
game
closing
was
my
that?
Laptop.
Game four of last year? I don't know.
That was not.
It was Tony Romo.
Okay. Dude, that Tony is Romo. Not. I want to. We'll do a comparison.
Oh, my God.
That does not sound like Tony Romo.
You're making my sinuses worse.
Guys,
that was Tony Romo. That was Tony Romo.
Pete!
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.